So the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning is quite a familiar one. Most of you will probably be able to recite it without looking it up in the Bible, but it's Psalm 23, and that can be found on page 555 of the Pew Bibles, which are just under the seats in front of you. This morning, we're actually going to be looking at a slightly different translation. The Pew Bibles are all the NIV translation, but this morning I've decided to use the ESV as we look at this passage. So the words are going to appear on the screen if you want to follow it there, or you can look along in the Pew Bibles that are in front of you. So Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So let's pray just before we look a bit deeper into the passage. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, and every time we read something, it can teach us different things. And we just pray that you would open our minds and hearts for all that you have for us this morning. We just ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was saying, Psalm 23 is a passage that we all know very well. But just before we dig into it a wee bit more, everyone has things that they're scared of throughout their life. If I'm being honest, there are a number of things I've been scared of in my life up until this point. When I was younger, I had a fear of water, and even the thought of swimming caused me great fear and anxiety. Then there was the fear of being the last person picked in PE. Even although I loved PE as a subject, but when we were asked to line up, it used to petrify me because I always had this vision of being the last one who was chosen out of a group of people. Something else that still brings fear into me, even still to this day, are spiders. And I had to put a cartoon picture up there because even the thought of a picture of a spider on the screen brings fear into me. So, yes, spiders. Growing up, if there was a spider in my room, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night in the same room as it. And I would take my duvet covers and pillow down the stairs and sleep on the living room sofa. But I'm pleased to say that since becoming a dad, I've had to man up a wee bit. And now I'm a little bit better at getting rid of them with the use of a vase and a sheet of card. So you put the vase over the top and you put a sheet of card underneath. Even if it does still take me 4 days to pluck up the courage to move it after I've done that. So there are many things in life that we can be scared of. And I'm sure we can all think of a number of things in our lives that bring total fear upon us. It could be something similar to what I've shared, or it could be things related to our work, our family situations, our health, the future. No matter what it is, fear is something that we all wrestle with on a daily basis, and it's something we should take seriously, because fear is one of the main giants that we all face in life. And if we're not careful, it can take us down, it can cripple us, and it can dominate our lives. Fear can take many forms in the world that we live in today, such as stress, anxiety, panic, depression, worry, insecurity, lack of self-confidence, and lack of self-worth. But this morning, I want us to leave all of these forms of fear to the side. And I want us to think about what God says in the face of all of these things. So I want you to be encouraged today as you leave this place. God wants to remind you that you don't have to face these trials on your own, because Jesus is our good shepherd who looks out for us, who guides us, who fights for us, who protects us, and who blesses us if we put our complete trust in him. Psalm 23 is such a popular and well-known psalm, and is one we could probably all say without even looking it up in the Bibles. And often when we read this psalm, we paint a picture in our heads of this calm and peaceful setting with long green grass, the sun splitting the sky, a few sheep lying down in the grass as the stream of water gently flows by. But this is a lovely picture to have, and it does bring a real sense of calmness at the start of this psalm, but there is so much more to this psalm than this peacefulness. And that is what we're going to focus on this morning as we unpack it a bit more. So we're going to focus on the fact that Psalm 23 is more than some nice poetry that can be recited regularly. It's actually a powerful, gritty, gutsy passage filled with truth and hope, and is one that can ultimately save us from the weights of sin and fear in our lives today. This psalm is a psalm of David, who was the shepherd boy, who knew firsthand what it was like to take on every role of a shepherd. He knew the importance of looking after his flock, leading them across the land, guiding them if they strayed away, and fighting to protect them if trouble came their way. David had a revelation of God being like a shepherd to all mankind who were his flock, and recognised the fact that we all need God to look after us and protect us in our life. David knew what it was like to live life under pressure, as he was a shepherd, a fighter, an author, a king, who would have faced a lot of the pressures that we face today. David here is calling us all sheep, which is a really nice thing to say if you like sheep and picture them to be lovely, wee, fluffy animals. But I don't think he's meaning this as a compliment here. In the context of this passage, if we think more about sheep, they can be quite dumb sometimes and constantly need their shepherd to hook them back onto the right path, to lead or guide them, and they rely on the shepherd for everything. Shepherds make sheep do things, even things they don't want to. So I would say David is being very down the line here with what he's saying. He is recognising that often we think we can do life on our own, but we can't. We need God to be our shepherd at all times. Jesus said during his life on earth, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep," and that's found in John 10:11. Often shepherds get bad press in the Bible and are labelled as those who are at the bottom of the pile. They would be the stinky outsiders who spend all their time hanging around fields with sheep. But Jesus' statement here shows the importance of this role in the lives of the sheep, and he shows here how much he cares for us by being our shepherd, willing to give his life, his all, to rescue and protect us. So this morning, I want to highlight four areas of fear that we should all be ready for throughout our lives, and give four ways in which God offers us protection in the face of fear and all life may throw at us. So the first area of fear is the fear of slowing down. In the world we live in today, life is fast, and often we don't want to slow down because the busier we are, the better we feel about ourselves. We are more popular, being more useful, using all the time that God has given us, and so on. Another reason could be working at top speed constantly means we don't have to acknowledge and deal with the troubles that arise. But God doesn't want us to operate at this speed all the time. He wants us to slow down. So the first way that God protects us is that he makes us rest. Verse 2 of Psalm 23 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. It doesn't say he asks me to, or he allows me to. It says he makes me, which means we have no choice in the matter. Jesus, our good shepherd, makes us rest in the face of our fears and busyness. He makes us stop. Often in our world today, because of the speed that everyone operates at, and because of the speed of the technology that we have a hold of, we can find it hard to slow down. We can at times find ourselves afraid to slow down, because when we do this, we have to deal with the reality of our own situations. But Jesus is saying in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Your shepherd wants you to slow down. He wants you to give him your burdens, your fears, your anxieties, your worries, because he wants to look after you. He wants to protect you both physically and spiritually. The second part of verse 2 talks about lying down in green pastures. Yes, this can mean physical rest, but he also wants us to enjoy the green pastures that he gives us to enjoy, which is the word of God in the Bible. He wants us to slow down, take time to be still, and focus on him and work on our relationship with him. Fear of slowing down can cause burnout, because when we stop, we feel guilty about not doing anything. This is how the devil works, and is just one of the many ways that he tries to make fear dominate our lives. If we stay close to the Good Shepherd, feed ourselves on the green pastures of his word, he will allow us rest, and this will strengthen our relationship with him. During my time at university, when I was studying building surveying, in my second year I had to undertake a work placement, which involved me working Monday to Friday in a surveying practice. And during that time I wasn't sure if I was going to get paid, so I kept on my part-time job at the weekends as well, which meant that I worked for 6 months, 7 days a week, with no time off. And during that time God challenged me, and he said to me, "You shouldn't be doing this. Money isn't everything." And I thought I knew best, and I said, "No, I'm not going to listen. I'm just going to keep going, because the money's great, I'm getting good experience, and for all I know, this placement might not give me a job at the end of it." So to cut a long story short, during that time, I struggled a lot with my mental health and lots of other things, but I ended up with the shingles because I didn't take the warning note. I wore my body down so far that it was totally worn out. And that's because I didn't listen to what God was saying to me during that time. So I've learnt a valuable lesson that when God tells you to slow down, you have to slow down. So the second area of fear that we face is the fear of making the wrong choices. Throughout our lives, we can find ourselves having to make a number of big decisions. Often, these can be decisions that affect other areas of our lives, so there is no surprise that this type of fear can creep in to every situation. The second way that God protects us is that he promises to be with us, guiding us through life, so we don't need to fear the future. Verse 3 of Psalm 23 says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Often in our lives, we can find ourselves being distracted from God, just like sheep who often wander away and do their own thing, and before we know it, we're stuck in a ditch, or we find ourselves miles down the wrong road because of silly decisions that we have made, or we've taken the wrong advice from people on certain things. Winky Pratney, a Christian evangelist, said, "God does not guide those who want to run their own life. He only guides those who admit their need of his direction and rely on his wisdom." This quote is so true, and all we have to do is look at the state of the world and the mess that it is in to see the results of those who wandered off the path that the Good Shepherd has set out for them. Do we like to be in control of our situations and in doing so only let God into certain parts of our life? Or do we come to him daily and follow him completely, even when we're unsure of what his guidance and leading will bring? Be assured that Jesus didn't say, "I am a good shepherd." No, he said, "I am the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep." We can have complete confidence and comfort in the fact that if we follow his lead, he will be with us everywhere we go and will be by our sides all the way. We shouldn't be fearful. We should have complete faith and assurance that our shepherd wants the best for us and will lead us to this green pasture time after time if we trust and let him. If your life seems to be a mess at the moment, if you've reached a crossroad and you're not sure which way to go, if you feel that life has lost its purpose, come back to the Good Shepherd, the one who protects us by guiding our paths every step of the way. This doesn't mean that the path will be easy. Often the path that God leads us down can lead straight into the valley of the shadow of death. But we shouldn't be scared. We should trust him and look for what he's teaching us as we walk through these valleys with him by our side. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 verse 13 to 14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Jesus warns us here that the path on which he leads us will be hard, but if we stick to it and trust in him, it will lead us to the eternal life that he has promised us with him. So don't let fear cloud your judgment. Let the Good Shepherd direct your path. The third type of fear I want to highlight is the fear of being hurt. Throughout life, we will all experience different types of hurt. This could be physical, emotional, or even spiritual hurt, which can deeply affect our relationship with others, and more importantly, our relationship with God. But I want you to know this morning that our Good Shepherd that we read about in Psalm 23 sees the hurts that we face, and he protects us by fighting for us. Verse 4 of Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The valley of the shadow of death can take many forms, and I'm sure most of us in this room have experienced many valleys in our lives, which could involve things to do with our health, our family situations, our workplace, our place of study. But one thing God wants to remind us about is these valleys might be hard going, tough to deal with, hard to live with, but he doesn't leave us to go through these situations alone. He walks with us all of the way. He doesn't lead us in and say, "I'll meet you at the other side once you're done." No, he walks every step of the way through the valley with us, all the way to the other side. If we notice the wording of verse 4, it says the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say the valley of death. It says the valley of the shadow of death, meaning that we can put our hope and trust in the Good Shepherd. When we do that, we have nothing to fear. Death has lost its power because of all that Jesus has done on the cross. Death is just a shadow of its former self when we are led through each valley by the Good Shepherd. The second part of verse 4 says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I want us to think about that for a moment and realise how God protects us. I've read over Psalm 23 so many times, but haven't ever really grasped what this part means. So, as you may know, shepherds back in the days of David would have had two pieces of equipment that they would have used, their staff and their rod. The shepherd's staff was a long stick with a hook on the end of it, which was used to push and hook the sheep back into line, ensuring that they didn't wander away from them and get lost and get into trouble. As we've spoken about earlier, Jesus does the same for us. He stands right beside us, and when we begin to wander, he hooks us back into line again. Like sheep, we can so often be stubborn and think our ways are better than his ways. So we keep wandering off. But know this, Jesus is constantly with us when we feel we have wandered too far away from his love and care. And we've made decisions that make us feel unworthy or so dirty or evil that he doesn't want anything to do with us. When we feel this way, that is a complete lie from the devil. Jesus stands right beside us with his arms open wide, ready for us to return back to him. So let's think about the rod now. Let me break another stereotype here. Shepherds are often thought of, as we see maybe in the nativity plays at Christmas, nice, clean, fluffy, maybe a tea towel on their head, with a wee lamb under their arm. And some people can think of them slightly differently as being the down and outs of society, the smelly ones that nobody really wanted to talk to. But in this psalm, if we look deeper, we don't really see either of these stereotypes. We see a fearless, fierce, scary shepherd who will do anything to guard, defend, and fight for his sheep. David, the little shepherd boy who defeated Goliath, the one who wrote this psalm, knew exactly what it meant to guard his sheep. And we can read in the Bible about how he, on his own, with his rod, killed a lion and a bear, two very powerful animals that are so dangerous that he shouldn't have stood a chance against them. Why did he succeed? Because he took his role as a shepherd seriously. And when trouble came, he used all that he had with all his might to protect his flock. And this paints an amazing picture of Jesus too. He doesn't just stand there with his fluffy beard and watch as we're coming under attack from every angle and tries to shoo them off with his staff. He fights with everything that he has for you because he is our protector in the face of cancer, in the face of mental health problems, in the face of bankruptcy, or whatever the devil may throw at us. Why? Because he is our shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And he fights for us every day because he loves and he cares for us that much. Jesus, the good shepherd, is so fierce that he will not stop fighting for you until you are safe. I'm sure many of you will know, just after Ruth and I got married, we bought a flat in Merrilee in the south side of Glasgow, and unknown to us, our neighbour down the stairs was in jail at the time. After a few months, he was released and he came home and made life a complete misery for us every day. He would threaten us, he would damage our property, and he made the first 3 years of our married life quite tough and miserable at times. But God was with us through that time. We did everything that we were advised to do, and it seemed we were making no ground at all. It got to the stage where we didn't feel safe in our own home. But to cut a long story short, God was with us both in the valley that we found ourselves in. At the time, we were praying constantly, asking God to give us a way out, but he seemed to be silent. However, we could still feel him with us, and we were aware of his presence and protection. We got to know the local police pretty well during that time, because we would call upon them for help very, very often, and we were reminded of God's faithfulness when in fighting this situation, when two of our police officer friends found themselves based out of our local police station, and they were able to support us in this time. Eventually, after many battles, our neighbour was arrested and eventually rehoused elsewhere. And at the time, it was tough. But looking back, God was there with us in the valley, constantly fighting for us, even when we didn't see it, and bringing good as a result of the situation. So God is constantly fighting for you, even when you don't see it or feel it. Know that the Good Shepherd is always on your side. The fourth and final fear I want to highlight is the fear of our enemies. Often when we're faced with troubled situations, we can be scared of those involved and what they can do to us. In some situations, people may spread lies or badmouth us or could even make us feel unsafe. But we can have confidence in the fact that God protects us and teaches us important lessons during our time in the valley that help us in our future. Verse 5 of Psalm 23 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." David here is reminding us that even although we can be surrounded by our enemies, God is with us, providing for us and blessing us, and we should not be afraid. Think back to the story I told you earlier about our neighbour. When I think back over what happened in that situation, it was clear that God was there preparing a table for us to sit at. Even though there were troubles all around us, he was saying, "I have got you. You don't need to worry." And as I was preparing for today, and I read this verse, I had a picture in my head of someone who had just come through the valley with Jesus, and they're both sitting enjoying fellowship together as he is explaining all that he'd brought them through and why. So no matter where you are in life at the moment, remember that God will never waste any experience we have been through. He uses everything to help shape us and mould us into the people he wants us to become. The song "Never Once" by Matt Redman speaks of God being with us in the valley and on the mountaintop, and is a great reminder of his faithfulness to us. I'd like to leave these words in your mind as an encouragement to you today, that our Good Shepherd knows your fears and he does not leave you to face them on your own. The lyrics to the first verse and chorus say this: "Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful." So as we close today, let us be reminded of the Good Shepherd that we've read about in Psalm 23, of the protection that he gives to each of us who put our trust in him. And we can leave this place in confidence, knowing that the giant of fear has no authority in our lives. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage from Psalm 23. We thank you for the many promises that are included in it. And we thank you that you are a God who loves us, who cares for us, no matter what the situations that we face. And even in the darkest valleys, when you seem to be silent, you are there fighting for us. I pray that you would help us to remember that when times are tough. And I pray that you would bring the right people around us to support us when we face these situations. Thank you again for all that you have done for us. And we ask that you would be with us the rest of today. In Jesus' name, we ask all of this. Amen.